Well, as we go into our time of the Lord's Supper, it occurred to me that when I lead us into that time, often I will say something like this. I'll say, this is not the table of Grace Bible Church. This is the Lord's table. And we invite any who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior to partake with us. Now, if you're here this morning and you're unchurched, you may not have heard language like that before. It may be like speaking a foreign language to you. Or maybe you have heard it before, but you've never really fully understood it. So I just wanted to take a few minutes this morning to talk to you about what it really means to trust Jesus Christ. Pat and I were in Dallas Friday for a funeral. My father's last surviving sibling, the last of that generation, passed away. My Uncle Fred was 94 years old, and we had cousins and family there, and it was a very rich time. But it did get me to thinking about death. Now, we don't normally think about death very much. Most of us don't anyway. And I think, actually, the fact that we don't think about death very much is probably a clear evidence that we've been created in the image of God, who is eternal. So I think it's natural and normal that we don't think about death very much. In fact, if we think about death too much, it's probably not a healthy thing. But it is important for us to think about death. Why is it important for us to think about death? Well, unless Jesus returns first, the death rate in this room is 100%. Every single person in this room will undergo death. So I want to ask you a question, and the question is the most important question you've ever been asked. And that is, do you know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die? It's a big question. And it's a big question because we've got a real problem. It's kind of a two-part problem. And there's only one solution to the problem. The first part of the problem is the Bible tells us that all have sinned. That means we've missed God's mark. We've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Okay, so the first part of that statement is we've all sinned. We've all missed God's mark. That means you, me, your neighbor, the best person you've ever known, the best person you've ever heard of, has missed God's mark. God's mark of perfection. We've come short of what? The glory of God. The glory of God means that God is holy. God's perfect. We sang just a wonderful praise song a little while ago about the love of God. And Sandy read one of the great passages in all of Scripture about the love of God. And we like to think about the love of God. And He is 100% love. But God is also 100% holy. And He's also 100% righteous. And He's 100% just. He's a perfect judge. He doesn't let crime off the hook. So where does that leave us? We've all sinned. We've all committed a crime. And let me put it like this. You can say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I do my very best. A few years ago, our family went on a vacation to the Pacific Northwest. It was great. We went to a tiny little island in the Straits of Georgia, off the coast of British Columbia. It was called South Winchelsea Island. And on a very clear day, you could see across the water, across the Straits of Georgia, to the little British Columbia town of Sechelt. And let's just say that you and I are on that little island, South Winchelsea Island, and I say to you, hey, let's see if we can jump across this water over to Seychelles. Now, you might be younger than me, you might be stronger than me, faster than me, and you might be able to jump further than me. In fact, you might be able to jump three times as far as I can. But guess what? We're both going to get real wet. We're not going to make it. In the same way, you might have done a lot of good works, but there are not enough good works to be acceptable to God, because God's standard is perfection. Now, the other thing is about that is that there's a penalty to be paid for our sin. And the Bible says that that penalty is death. It says that the wages or the payment for sin is death. We all die. We undergo physical death. But what's even more serious is that we all undergo spiritual death, separation from God in hell. And it's real serious. That's a real big problem. And if it ended there, we could say that life is pointless. Life is useless. We could say with the hedonist or with the Epicurean, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing else. We might as well just live it up. The old beer commercial from years ago, you only go around once, go for all the gusto. We might as well do that if that's all there is. But that's not all there is. The scripture verse that we have been memorizing for the past month, Hebrews 2:9, but we do now see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Some of your Bible translations say that he might experience death for everyone. Let me tell you why they translate it that way. Because it's not taste like sometimes we think of taste. Sometimes we'll go out to a restaurant with a friend and we'll look across the table at the food they have on their plate and they say, wow, that really looks good. And then our friend says, well, here, would you like a little taste? And cut off a little piece and give it, and we just take a little taste. We sample. That is not what the writer of Hebrews was saying about Jesus. In fact, Jesus experienced death to its fullest. Jesus not only experienced physical death and the suffering that came with that horrible death on the cross. He not only experienced that, he experienced emotional death when his father turned his back on him. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he also experienced spiritual death when God rained down judgment on yours and my sin that had been placed upon Jesus. The wrath of God was on his perfect son. He made him sin, who knew no sin, on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, God's perfect son, took the punishment for sin that you and I deserved. And then to show that that was acceptable to God, that Jesus' payment was acceptable, and that Jesus had conquered death, he rose from the dead on the third day. God commended his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took that punishment. Now, you and I can be saved from that sin by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. The Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." By grace are you saved through faith. What is faith? You know, we hear a lot about faith. We hear about people of faith, and it seems to mean a religious system or something, doesn't it? But that's not what faith is. Faith is more than intellectually saying, "Oh, okay, I believe that." Okay? Faith is committing ourselves to it. It's like if I am in an aeronautical engineering class and I'm taking a test on principles of the laws of aerodynamics, and I can take that test and I can get 100% on it and say, "Yeah, I get that." But it's something else entirely to step onto an airplane and fly away, isn't it? That's trust. In the same way, trusting Jesus Christ, trusting that what He did on the cross alone was sufficient to pay the penalty for my sins. Trusting Jesus Christ and no one or nothing else, not my good works, not some other system. It's not enough to be a good Baptist or a good Bible church member or a good Jew or a good Muslim. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in trusting Jesus Christ, we can be saved from the penalty of our sins. Paul tells us in Romans 10, if we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in our hearts that God's raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. What's keeping you from it right now? Don't let anything keep you from trusting Jesus Christ right now. We're not guaranteed another breath. None of us. Let me tell you a little parable. It's not in the Bible, but it does illustrate a biblical truth. In the ancient Middle East, there was a wealthy man, and he had a slave. And he sent his slave into the marketplace in Baghdad to buy food. And while the slave was there, he looked up and he saw death. And death turned and looked at him with a terrible, threatening stare, scared the slave. The slave dropped the food and ran back to his master's house. He was terrified, and he said to his master, "I just saw death. Please let me escape to Damascus. Death will never find me there." So the good master allowed his slave to run to Damascus. But the good master didn't leave it there. He went back into Baghdad, and he found death, and he said, "Why did you do that? Why did you give my slave that terrible, threatening stare? I've lost a good slave now." And death turned to him and said, "That was not a threatening stare. That was a look of surprise. I did not expect to see him in Baghdad. For you see, I have an appointment with him tonight in Damascus." We can't escape death. It's coming. Trust Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Now, I've been talking a lot about death. But there's the Christian life here on earth is a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Look around you. Look at these people. This is the body of Christ on earth. We share our lives together. We pray for one another. We help each other. It's a great life. So, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. And, you know, you don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to do anything like that. You can pray a prayer something like this: God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus died for my sins and that He raised from the dead. I'm trusting Him and Him alone right now. Thank You for saving me. Amen. You can pray a prayer something like that. You don't have to memorize the words. God knows. You can do that. Now, as we come to the Lord's table, I will say it's not the table of Grace Bible Church. It is the Lord's table. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to partake with us. I'm going to ask the men to come. I'm going to ask John and Gary, if you'll come up. We're going to have our time now. It's our custom at Grace Bible Church to hold the elements, and then when they've all been passed, to partake of those together.